All right, well, I'm gonna get started. So welcome y'all. It's been 5 years since we had a meeting. Maybe a little longer than that, but roughly 5 years. It was like in June 2017, I think. And yeah, a lot's changed. But some things are the same. Like, this still exists. And I wrote the letter to kind of get everyone back on the same page and to let people know that, you know, I'm still moving this along and that we still have money and we're gonna grow it and we're gonna keep going, you know. And so we learned a lot of things from then. In 2017, it was really hot because, you know, we started that year, we hit 10K and we were super excited. And then the NAV blew up. By the end of the year, it was already six figures. It hit like 400K at one moment.
Right, we had 1.5 Lambo.
Yeah. and so then since then, you know, it bled out, like all this weird stuff I talked about in the letter happened. And so I learned, the biggest takeaway was the taxes. Okay, so like taxation, in the crypto world, I mean, we're just like this attitude of trying to like get away from, you know, these authoritarians and all these like whatever, they're skimming off of everything that we do. But at the end of the day, like, they've really locked down the system. You kind of got to just play ball, because otherwise you're not going to get anywhere, you know. They will eventually take all your money, or they'll think you're money laundering or something like that, you know? And so basically I've been studying up and trying to figure out the best way to just roll this out. The idea also is, you know, have a day job. Everyone else has their stuff, their lives going on. So I don't want it to be a thing that is so time consuming where, you know, several people, you know, have to spend all this time working on it just to get things going. You know, I don't think that necessarily requires that, because the company is basically primarily a holding company. I mean, it's kind of inert, holds assets. And then we can, like, you know, if people want to sell or they need cash for themselves, we can, you know, do distributions. We can set it up. I mean, I have some ideas for some cash flow stuff. So if there's like cash coming in, we can set up like dividend style payments for people. But just to kind of get that going. But then also with that, I have to be able to tell the IRS what's going on, you know, with the accounts and like who gets what. And so so kind of like, you know, I'm thinking basically the easiest way, and I love opinions. I don't know how much y'all know about how to structure companies and taxes and things like that, but just to get the ball rolling, an LLC, manager-managed LLC, passing through to us. So it makes it easy to when we do trades and stuff like that, the cap gains or losses or whatever, it just simply gets divided up according to the ownership amount of each. So that way, the gains and losses, your section of it gets passed through, and then the IRS can correctly like see that how much have you paid your share of that, the gains, or, you know, or you taking credit for losses or whatever. But so that way, because the way it was before, it all looked like it was coming out of my account, my tax ID. And so it's like I was on the hook for everything, and then everyone else could just kind of like run away with, you know, not having to pay. And so and a side note, Trevor sent out an email, I don't know if you saw it, and he's got his opinions, and it's cool, and I really appreciate him fighting for me. But, you know, I screwed up. I'm taking the blame for that, and I'm okay with that. I still made money. Everybody's kind of still made money, so I'm just moving forward. I kind of don't think that it will really change much if we go and like spend all this time trying to figure out who owes what on taxes, back taxes, and this and that. I'm just like ready to just wipe the slate clean based on what we have here, and then just move forward. Because, you know, it's not a huge deal. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's bankrupting me or anything like that. And, you know, the money is not again significant, but it's also not like we're not at billions of dollars yet or anything crazy yet. So, you know, it's better just to move forward. So, like going forward, I just want to talk about, like, just in general, the goals that I have, the purpose of this fund, just like to remind us. So like I said, it's asset holding companies, like mostly inert, you know, we don't have employees. It's going to be like just us right now, you know, and I'm open to like, if we develop into like some kind of hedge fund or I don't know what, you know, who knows what the future holds. Then there'll be new structure. There'll probably be maybe a C corp instead that owns the LLC, that then everyone will just own shares of the C corp and we'll just move into that. Because that becomes favorable for more like bigger organizations, or like if you have employees or things like that. And plus, that's where you really get the benefit of the protection. But the taxes and that stuff is a little bit more complicated, and probably just need to hire an accountant at that point. And that's what I'd probably be doing. But for right now, we don't need that, I don't think. And we don't really have any cash flow, and it would just kind of be a waste of money, in my opinion, at this point. So once we get more money in there, and once we figure out how things work, and if we can even have some kind of cash flow going beyond just waiting for the market to do its thing, then we can start doing kind of neat stuff like that, paying accountants, help, you know, paying for like some light dev work here and there. I mean, I have this website that I maintain for the club, and I'm using that same kind of model to have a CADEX website to push updates and make it easy. I just update it through the Slack, and it just populates on the site. So I'm still working on that site, but it'd be cool to have like, you know, have a little funds to be able to pay people out, and we can do that even before we actually have the C corp, or like we could do it with just the LLC, where we can pay like a contractor and just have a 1099 for them. And that, you know, so you don't have to worry about all the overhead of a real employee and stuff like that. So we can still kind of do that as we grow. And then eventually I would like to be able to have a full company, and maybe I can quit my job and, yeah, we can really ride this up. So, and the other thing is, you know, it's a crypto company. I mean, it's a crypto club, right? And we're crypto oriented, and that's what kind of brought us together. But I'm also interested in other things beyond crypto. I think it's good to diversify. And plus, like, I like crypto in the sense of like it connecting, it's like a conduit to the real world. It gets people to be able to invest in things. But if it's most useful when you can do things in the real world, like you can have some kind of interaction. And so one of the things that I was thinking is, so we have a portfolio of crypto, but then we have a portfolio of other assets in there too, like gold, silver, like physical stocks, bonds, real estate is really the one thing that I think is really would be awesome. So like most, as we grow these other assets, then eventually we could start stacking on like real estate, different kinds of properties, and figure out what to do with them. But at a base level, I mean, you know, there's a lot of properties that would be cool to just own and have them appreciate. Maybe we can rent it out, do Airbnb, split the money, or, you know, like members could just use it, you know, and we could put money in a pot if you use it or whatever. Like I was just in the island and I was thinking, man, it'd be cool if we had a condo out here instead of me blowing money at the hotel. Like we just have the CADEX condo, you know? So, hey, it's James. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, dude?
Hey, it's all good. Yeah, so I've just been kind of giving people a rundown. Did you get the email from before? Is that, maybe that was an old email address. Yeah. So I gotta send you the letter that I wrote, everyone. It's like just kind of gives the layout of what's going on. And about like, you know, the past, like where we are in the past and how we got where we are today, the state of everything, and who owns what, how much shares. And so part of the meeting, I wanted to maybe resolve like what, you know, we have the cap table, maybe I could print it out, but, and it has like a bunch of shares, like, and for you, so you have the second biggest holding.
Actually, I'm pretty sure I lost my share of the holding. That was a problem.
Okay, so you
I
lost.
I don't really feel entitled to anything as far as the whole thing, because like we tried and tried, we can never. There's probably 400,000 Ripple. Because I personally walked back in to cover it, and then that guy, you know, when all that stuff, they started doing the IDs, and it wasn't my fault, you know.
Like, yeah.
It was just, so that's, it was 200,000 Ripple that I got with the original Bitcoin, and then I rebought in out of my personal Bitcoin, and then, that's gone too. So I don't really feel entitled.
Yeah.
I feel like that was my share. Sorry, I screwed up.
Hey man, it's all good. I screwed up too. We all kind of screwed up, but you know, that's cool. So, I mean, okay, so my...
So that's more for y'all, whatever's left.
Okay.
As far as that goes.
What I was thinking was like, if that was the case, then we would, I would just like strike your shares, it'll just take that out of the float, and then the rest is just
every portion of people. Yeah, that's really cool.
But that said, you know, I mean, I'm resetting everything. I'm like getting the structure right, so we avoid these problems, and you know, trying to make it more of a professional thing.
Right.
And I'd still like you to be on board, man.
Oh, sure, yeah. I could probably chip back in with whatever coins I have.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, you know, it doesn't even have to be a lot. I mean, you know, the share price, last I calculated it, it'll be different now that we've resolved this. So it's like around $20, basically.
Yeah, cool.
So, I mean, I'm telling people, like, you could be in with just one share. I mean, you know, you don't have to put in a huge amount. It's just, it's mostly, like, if a nominal amount, and then you come to the meetings and like hang out and talk about crypto, but like putting a little skin in the game and just kind of
it gives you more reason to show up.
Yeah, exactly. And so cool. So I'll just kind of continue where I was talking. I just started, so I was just giving a rundown of like what I was hoping to accomplish ultimately with the fund. So I was talking how it was about it's a cryptocurrency. It was obviously a cryptocurrency fund, but I wanted to formalize it, like having an entity to ultimately be able to have real estate.
Yeah, so I get just,
you know, and so we have a portfolio of real estate with crypto, with some other things. So we had kind of have like some liquid, and then like increasingly liquid assets up to cash or whatever, you know, and we can handle the distributions. So we can have like real estate in the portfolio, but it's still liquid. So like people can, if they need money or whatever, then you can still get access to capital or just withdraw cash, you know. But in order to set all that up, I had to deal with all the, I gotta actually properly set up an entity, and I gotta figure out how the taxes work. And so I finally got that. Like at least I know how it's gonna work. And so after this meeting, and now that I know who's kind of roughly wants to be in or out, I'll file the paperwork with the state to actually create an entity, and then everyone that has, you know, their interest in it, then I'll put the percentage for them. And that way, when it comes time to, for, you know, tax season, I can cut a Schedule K for everyone that is basically says, you know, how much they owe of the capital gains or their portion of the losses. So it's just like that gets sent to the IRS, and then it's up to you to file on your end, like
that. So what would the basis be? Would be the value from a year ago, or?
So I might have to actually talk to our CPA about that to get the real number on it. So that's gonna be a little weird, but I'm gonna try to understand how that number is gonna work, because since I'm recapitalizing the fund using, because I got hit with tax problems and all these things, and so I got these shares from my old job that are worth a lot of money, and I'm just shifting that into the fund, and so I'm planning on selling it at some point. I was gonna wait a year, so it's almost a year. In July, it'll be a year, so then the tax is long-term taxes. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to figure out like how it's gonna work when I shift it to the new entity, and like what the basis will be for everyone else, and like, you know, if, and I don't actually know the details. If I shift it over like that, does it suddenly become like short-term for y'all, or like, you know, these kind of weird, like subtle rules are like a CPA kind of thing. So I'm going to get with someone to iron that out after this meeting. So like early next week, I'm going to be hammering on all this stuff. I'm going to try to even file something tomorrow if I can get all the notes together on everything. So that way, because by the time the next meeting rolls around, which I want to try to get these like monthly, I want to have all the accounts set up, you know? So that way I can show stuff on the screen and like start showing money in a bank account and like,
it sounds good, but it might be worth it for you to delay a month.
Okay.
So you can bring your funds in the day zero of the new entity.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to, you know, that's your call.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Might not make a difference, but it might.
Yeah, no, it might. The details there are just so nebulous to me with these kind of like tax rules, and it seems like it changes all the time. I'm like, you never know. But so the other thing too, I mean, like other kinds of assets. I've been talking with people like food supply, like storage. I mean, I don't know how many people have storage. That I don't. I live in a condo, you know, and it's hard for me to like. And so, if we have like a collective group's supply just for like a backup, I mean, I think that'd be useful. Just a couple grand's worth of old backup food, honestly, would
be a lot of food.
Kind of be a lot. Yeah, it would be a lot. The long term stuff, and you know, for rations, like I mean, that kind of stuff, I feel like is good. Just in keeping the back of our heads, but as a group, we can kind of take care of each other because weird stuff could be coming down the pipe with the economy. I mean, it's like a big question mark. So,
hey Joe, would you are you looking then like for the land purchasing? Would that just be like within Texas, like closer to the where everyone else is like positioned, or was it open to like across like the nation or something?
Well, I mean, so I think. Ideally, it'd be nice to be close, you know, so we could physically use it and stuff like that. But I'm also not opposed to our, like, you know, properties outside of Texas. It's just a matter of, you know, whether it makes sense or not and stuff like that. Over as we grow, definitely. I mean, I see us having property all over the country. But for right now, I mean, like, as far as the what we can get out of it, I feel like in the Austin area-ish, it would be the best if we can pull that off. But, you know, it's just going to kind of depend on how things go and, you know, what the housing market is even like around this whole area. You know, another option is, like, go further west, out in, like, West Texas area. There's some plots of land out there that are dirt cheap.
Like, Austin County?
Yeah.
There's a really good business model out that way too, because I just recently went to Big Ben, and there's this app called Hip Camp, and these guys are just like building basically a camping site, and then it's $20 a person per night just to pitch your tent, and then it's our community kitchen and stuff, and so
nice.
It's like dirt and sun.
That's cool.
They provide like water, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, if we could get something like that and get some like basic cash flow going. That's like a great start. I mean, you know, and even if we just had a plot of land, just because I go out there a lot too nowadays, and I would camp on it, you know, or we can keep like we could build like some kind of structures there and keep stuff in there, like, you know, secure it or whatever. And so that's pretty doable. What do you think, Josh? Were you about to say something?
I just love that.
Okay.
I have an aunt that's selling some property out near, selling like a 1,700 acre ranch near Del Rio.
Okay, nice.
One of many properties.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I'd love to even have a meeting just like talking about all that and like hashing it out and getting down, you know, the most ideal spots for this kind of thing. And, you know, also the advantage of really setting this up is it might pique the interest of like bigger money people to do bigger, like scaled up projects. And, you know, I mean, I keep talking about this stuff to random people, like what I've been up to in crypto. And I can't tell you how many times people just want to write me a check, you know? I just can't just take the check. You know what I'm saying? As much as I want to.
It needs some structure.
Yeah, it definitely needs structure because, yeah, I'm going to be on the hook for that check, the return on it. And so, And it's not small. We're talking at least like 100K. Like, I mean, I can't believe I can talk someone up until they wanted to write me a 100K check. That's kind of neat. And so, like, that's why I want to get more serious about it, because there's that going for us, you know? And so, let's see what I get. So, like, as far as, like, the company format, it's like I've been debating in my head between LLC and C corp, and like whether to do the pass through or to do the taxation like the C corp, because you have to do a trade off whether you get the simpler one is a pass through and it's also taxed once, but you don't have the same level of the liability protection, and so that's like the trade off. You either accept getting taxed twice, once at the company level and then once when you get your money distributed. But then you have your liability protection. So it's kind of like it's up in the air. Eventually I want to go to the C corp. I think that's where we need to be from what I'm reading, but it's there's more overhead, you know, to do that. And I'm trying to keep it as like low overhead as possible. So that way, you know, we kind of like once a month we're active and we're thinking about it. But, you know, day to day, I mean, we have our lives and we have our day jobs and things like that. So don't want to spend like a whole full-time job or even a half-time, maybe like 10 hours, 20 hours, like a month or something like that. You know, I think would be enough to nurse the trades and deal with the paperwork and hearing that, and just kind of, then we can talk about it. But, yeah, eventually, I want it to be a fully fledged company so I can quit my day job and just do this. But as far as like how it's gonna look like day to day, I mean, I'm planning to use just QuickBooks to slurp in the bank accounts, to set up bank accounts, set up the Fidelity. I'm gonna use Fidelity for a business account with Fidelity, and they make it easy to just create sub accounts. People want to trade on behalf of the fund, or like nurse trades, or we can talk about that stuff later. But at least it puts the structure in place, and it makes it easy to just pull, like, as the trades happen. We don't have to put it in a book, you know. We don't have to put it in a spreadsheet and like, you know, track all that, because that's kind of half the problem is the bookkeeping, and then we just lost track of the data, you know. But it's in the structure, it's all there, and then they'll create. Forms and stuff and paperwork for you, so it just makes it a lot easier using QuickBooks to sort all that out. And then I'm also looking at there's a couple of these companies that you can use to like help manage your cap table and like help you structure things to like get evaluation and like get funding and stuff like that. And that's kind of like a while ago I was not wanting to ever go that route, but as more and more people kind of are like, hey, I want to be in, I have money, then I'm thinking, well, man, I mean, maybe we could set up something and then like pitch it, you know, to these VCs or whoever, like in this formal way, and actually get like $10 million or $20 million or something like that, you know, like in a seed funding round or whatever, and really start doing something big. But that's kind of weird stuff down the line. I'm still kind of trying to understand all that stuff. And in the meantime, we'll just kind of develop out what we have and then see if it makes sense to do that. And so like after that, so you know, after this meeting, I'm gonna talk to an accountant, and I'm gonna try to find out the cost basis stuff and see what makes sense. But I want to get everything up and running as quick as possible now, so we can start moving, because the market's, you know, in a weird spot. It might crash more here, or it might just go sideways forever. But I just want to be ready for the next big run, and I want to be in a spot where we're starting to accumulate again, and just not have to worry about it for the next run. I just want to like soak it in. Whoa, we're running up, you know. But yeah, so like as far as projects, ultimately, I mean, the biggest one is really just trading and holding stuff, you know, like just managing the portfolio and making it bigger. But I was thinking, you know, I've been getting good at like selling calls, you know, call options, and there's like a lot, like it's kind of easy money. You go and you sell the calls to all the YOLO crowd, the meme stock people, and they're like buying calls that are gonna expire soon, and it's like free money. I mean, I started to realize this, and it's like, you know, the only downside is if it pops, then you don't get the whole thing. But if you're still you're selling a call and it's above where you bought it, then you still at least get that bit. So you get a little bit of the appreciation, but you get a guaranteed payout at the beginning for them, but you can buy the contract. So that's like an easy little cash flow thing that I might just try to just regularly do every month to generate a little bit of extra income.
Well, this leads up to one of my questions.
Okay.
Which is something that really wasn't a thing back in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a lot of passive income options now?
Yeah,
so, that's true.
So I think we need to ask ourselves how much that needs to be part of the mix.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's great, actually. It's a great point. If we had it set up, we could just be slowly getting this drip. It's like, you know,
right. And of course the question then is exactly taxes.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the next question then.
So with the
My other question was about alternates to alternate crypto things, with the obvious one being NFTs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're gonna need to get a sense from the members what class of things we're gonna want to be looking at, right?
Yeah.
So there's more kinds of things that are possible now.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like what you're saying is you want it to be like anything is possible, crypto or not. So maybe this question isn't important, but eventually we have to go back and figure out what people are comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. And right now I'm kind of feeling it out, and you know, some things might make more sense than others ultimately, and we just focus on the good mm-hmm. stuff. But ideally, I'd like to figure this whole thing out and then try to spin up other ones. You know, with maybe with other groups in other towns, and then try to create a network, and then, like, you know,
could it sounds like that's the VC back thing.
Yeah.
To do that.
So, I'm in the Valley a lot, and I was conspiring with Fred about, like, hey, we should start making a group down here that's kind of connected to what we're doing, and we can, like, expand, you know, as long as we find good people and create a nice community. Can kind of expand geographically and cover a bigger area and get more people involved. And I think that's just a really neat idea. And I like the idea of also like different clubs, and then some other clubs that kind of have an investment in their club and, you know, things like that. It's like a decentralized, but without crypto properly, it's like just,
you're not looking to tokenize our holdings.
That's another thing. So I am. That's also okay. On the table. But that's just really hard to do because it amounts to getting the SEC approval of being able to sell stock. It's the same thing. So if we could be traded like a penny stock, then we can do a crypto like thing. And I would love to do that. I'd love to get to that point. You know. So that's still there, but like I said, it's until we get to a certain size, it's going to be hard to let the SEC get the SEC to let us do that. I think, I mean, by default, they're just so antagonistic on crypto. There's like these little crappy companies out there that they let them trade over the counter, and they're garbage, but they still give so much hassle to crypto companies, and they won't let them do it. So it's like, anyway.
Definitely. How does it come in with the physical assets? Like, if you start owning property, does that kind of provide like a loophole outside of Fed Insight?
Well, the properties. So the problem is that the token will always represent equity because we're trading, we're swapping it for like this underlying, and that's okay. That's the difference with like versus Bitcoin. There's no underlying. It is itself. It's the thing you own. So then they call it a commodity. So if we just rolled out a coin, I mean, I guess if we did this, if we had a coin and then we just if we arbitrarily say we're going to buy it back at certain prices, then I think almost that triggers the equity thing in the rules. It's like a smoke test. So it's like they figured out a way to really just like make it impossible for us to just like in the old days, everything you could just like tokenize it. They didn't care. Nobody knew what was going on. So they didn't, you know, but now it's really locked down. And the SEC just, I mean, they antagonize my, I'm working at Voyager. I don't know, you know Voyager? It's like a brokerage, like Coinbase.
Okay.
And we just got a couple of weeks ago cease and desist from a couple of different state financial regulators all at once to like stop our company doing interest payments to, you know, we have interest bearing accounts. They thought it was too high. But anyways, long story short, like this is a legit already established company of like $1 billion, you know, worth and like several billion under management. And then they're being treated like trash, you know? So imagine like how they treat us, like, you know. So
there might be a middle ground that would be cool, which is if you could set up tokens that are not generally tradable, mm-hmm. they're only tradable back to the core entity,
mm-hmm.
and so in a sense they're only representing your holding.
Right.
But then since you can't generally trade it to anyone, it's restricted who you trade it to. That's true.
We could probably get away with that as long as it wasn't publicly available, like publicly listed on an exchange that anyone could get access to. Then,
right.
Yeah, that might actually get under the radar on like a gray.
That style of doing it would literally be like running a spreadsheet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Was it like an employee-owned business where we're just issuing shares within like to fellow employees, like anyone who would buy in would be like deemed like falling under that employee umbrella?
Well, pretty much. It's actually more of like we're not employees, we're just investors. So,
a partnership then?
Yeah, it's like more of a partnership. So there's not going to be any. There's not employees per se. If we were going to have like actual employees, we could do it under the LLC, but we would want to probably file it as a C corp. This is just what I've been reading is like how the reasoning behind why you have the different company structures. So when you see an LLC with employees, usually they're filing as a C corp because they might as well actually have created the entity as a C corp. I don't even know why that you can be an LLC but then file as a C corp. It's like really weird rules, but so ultimately we're all investors, not employees. In the C corp situation, we could be both like an investor and an employee and get like a regular income paycheck, but then also we have equity. So
right. If you're a C corp, you're required to run a payroll.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right. But if you're LLC,
exactly.
You don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's just extra overhead that for right now, I'm not super keen on it, but it's definitely in the future. It would be there. And hey, Stefan, I saw your note about Gary's dad. I forgot that he was a CPA. That's a really good point.
Yeah, man, he's really good. Like, yeah. He worked with Alonzo, a bunch of doctors. Like, it's a really good resource.
Yeah. I'm going to hit him up after this call. Hold on. Let me get Scott in here. He just messaged me.
Scott?
Yeah.
He's in Sacramento right now.
One second.
That's hilarious.
I'll
just step back in time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just poof, disappeared for a while. And I was like,
okay. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So while he's coming on, let's see what else I had here.
Did you see the email from Neil?
Did he send out an email to everyone?
Yes. He basically said that he dumped his share with Scott.
Yeah. So that trade happened a couple days ago. So he's out, and Scott had like two shares. now he's got a proper amount. And then Josh needs to add in too. You can just start with one share if you want. I mean, and then we could sort it out later.
I'll start over again too. So
yeah.
That should help everybody out. Mm-hmm. Still something left.
Yeah.
Yeah. As much as 200,000 Ripple in the Great Wood of Elm. Yeah. Twice. Like the first one went on Cupsy and the second one on Bittrex, which I mean technically the stuff on Bittrex is still there. It was, could never get into it.
Yeah.
It was from way back when. I don't know if they were still on or that account. If we could somehow get the help desk or something.
They're worth a shot.
Their offices are in Seattle.
So where I leave off, so the passive income stuff, like I really want to get that down as far as like the ideas that people have on it, and then that's one thing we can kind of start setting up sooner rather than later.
Sure. It's like Cardano, so easy.
Yeah.
Turn on my phone, it just gives you Cardano interest. You know, mm-hmm. I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's secure. It's like it's in your own wallet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I guess that's a good point. Is we need to sort of figure out. We need a full reckoning of the wallets and the trading accounts. Right?
Yeah. So for that, the way I want to handle it for right now is like use a professional custodian and just pay for that, like Coinbase, basically. And because I want to roll it ourselves, I want to do that ourselves, but until we have a more stable setup and like we know how to do that correctly for like a lot of money, I'm feeling more comfortable just to use Coinbase. I mean, yeah. As much as I don't want to do that, but and also it kind of looks a little more legit for as we grow and more people are wanting to be in, you may see that we're dealing with like the big. You know, big companies in like more professional setting, then they might be comfortable to write bigger checks, you know. And then also it just helps with the paperwork, the tracking of what's going on and all that. And
well, I don't think we're going to be able to do just Coinbase, so there's going to have to be a provision for having multiple assets.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
Kind of break it up into clusters.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it'd be cool if we, like, that could be something to sit down and specifically talk about,
because
just like a protocol.
I guess the right way to do it is to think about what do we want the portfolio to look like, and then figure out who would be the best custodian. Depending on what we want to hold, maybe Celsius is better, or maybe, you know, so we just have to figure that out.
Maybe about on-chain capital we face now. Yeah, for the same wallet. It hasn't even been out of each project, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure Coinbase
has to do that too. So, ideally, a bottom up, but I guess the point is your point is we have stuff, mm-hmm. and moving what we have into something more recognized as soon as possible is a good first step.
It just gets us going, right. But like for instance, stuff like Radix and these others that we want to hold. I mean, we got to sort that out ourselves, you know.
Yes.
And so definitely want to do that, but I think just to get the ball rolling, it helps to set these accounts up and just do it that way. And then we can talk about like a protocol of how to really like if we can solidify on paper like how to like the process, because we never really did that, and that would help a whole lot, I think, mitigate.
For hey Joe,
hey Scott, what's up?
I heard you.
So yeah, talking about. Managing wallets, like custodianship. So
yeah,
I was saying, just to get the ball rolling, we could start with Coinbase. We like getting a pro Coinbase account to hold our funds, and but the thing is, it only supports a certain amount of things, and like you know, ideally, we don't want to be using Coinbase, or maybe we at least don't want to store everything on Coinbase. I mean, there's that weird story about how like if something bad happened with Coinbase, actually the people on deposit, they're on the low end of the totem pole when it comes to get a creditor. Like, what the heck is that? So all the bond people, even the stock people get paid out before the people with the accounts?
Really?
It's bad.
Oh.
But then Brian Armstrong was like, but you know, that won't happen. I know, that's what I'm saying. So that's sort of the sketchiness of that. Is there, but at the same time, like, I don't know. I mean, how many others are other options are there really?
Joe, just as a question, I know that we had our little Bob agent manager, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's alive, right?
Yeah, the code's there. It needs work though, but I mean, that's something that I'm building out still, and it'd be great to have more eyeballs on it. But that's, you know, it's a lot of work, man. I mean,
Yeah.
You know, I'm at a company at Voyager, and a lot of the code that I wrote over the course of those years to get that thing working, I'm like rewriting a Voyager in Go. I mean, it's like crazy. It's like a little deja vu. Even some of the precision error bugs, I'm like, I solved this in Python already. You know? And so it's there, and I want it. That's in fact, there's like what I wrote, I mean, it has intellectual property value, you know, in general. I mean, if I could have, the way the Voyager story was, what they started with is really not much different than this. And they just like hammered it in and had a couple of developers just get it working in a crappy state, but at least it worked. And then now the whole thing is to like clear out all the technical debt. And so I've just been one person. I've not been funded. You know, it's been a side project all these years. So,
and it's still man-hour.
Yeah, and it's just a lot of work. So that takes money to really develop that out. But I'm not giving up on that piece of code ever. I mean, I'm chipping away at it any time I get a chance. Also, some of that code is reused to like manage the website and like the channels that we have of data of information. Yeah. So I'm just like so the thing is like a microservice setup, and so I use it to also to manage our like group, but eventually it's uncanny how these guys, it's like the same layout. I mean, it's weird to me. It makes me actually feel a little weird working on it, because I'm at a company that's so similar. It's got to be violating something at this point. I don't want them to have a claim on this IP. And that's a little bit of a danger, but I'm treading lightly there.
We can deal with it.
Yeah, we can deal with it. And yeah, you know, maybe you can set up a dev meeting at some point, you know, if people are interested to see what the code looks like. I can show you the state of it right now, what it can do, what needs work, and then, you know, we can go from there, you know. I'd love to do that, because that would actually give me an opportunity to document a lot of the stuff that I haven't yet. And then just getting other people's opinion on like, you know, what they want to see out of it.
One thing about the procedural side of stuff is I'm happy to have, it's kind of in the vein of developer conversation, but just like technical conversation, is what do we want that process to look like? That's what I do professionally. Okay. Process mapping, and I'm a product manager. So,
well, perfect. Then we need to talk and come up with some of that documentation.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to think of some way to start asking the questions and finding out what are the key features that people want with it. You know,
yeah.
Good old requirements gathering. That was kind of, I mean, that was what I thought was the initial, and I still think it is, partially the initial purpose of Bob.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's, it handled it did all of that transactional documentation automatically, which is just like lovely.
Yeah. Freaking. Yeah. So I had it working a bit.